Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee Brushneider. As much as I enjoyed our guests, thanks again to Seth Dallas, Kyle Ann, Frankie Colt, and Angela Page for being on the No-No. There's nothing quite like the real deal. Mark Davis back in the hot chair.
Back again.
Mark is back.
Tell a friend.
Mark is back. Mark is back. Mark is back. Mark is back.
It goes so low.
Yeah.
Like, I always do that. I'll always sing that when someone's back from something, and I'll be like, guess who's back?
Is that actually Dr. Dre?
I don't think so.
He does have a deep voice.
He does, but yeah. I think they do a whole thing. I think there's a thing that happens there.
Anyways, welcome back from your trip.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back. I'm very, very happy to be here.
What'd you do?
With you and everybody else. What did I do? I went to Los Angeles, California.
The city of angles.
The city of angles. Lost angles. Mm-hmm. And hung out with Fletcher and Kristen.
Word.
Team
captains.
Yes, team captains. And met up with some friends out there. Ate a lot, saw some stuff, saw the Peterson Museum, Car Museum, which was really, really fascinating. Went to the Getty Museum, which was really, really awesome. We went to an observatory where I slept in the car. You know, just kind of
that's not how I expect that sentence to end.
Well, they
went to the observatory.
The observatory was closed, but you could still go up there and get a really beautiful view.
Oh, okay.
But I was like dog tired at that point. And so I took a nap and they walked up and were gone for like an hour and I just like passed out. So they left a day earlier than me. And then I went to Denver, where I ate my weight in psychedelic mushrooms. Whoa. I did not really.
Oh, okay.
but I met up with my friend James, who also is a trivia quiz master. Over in Milwaukee.
That's cool. I didn't realize he was getting in the game.
So he was for a long time at a place called the Black Rose, but it closed down.
Mm.
So he hung up his quiz mastering coat. But he actually just got a new gig. He posted something last night about how he was doing quiz mastering again. So I'm going to try and get him down here to have him on the podcast because
he has some stories.
Christ. Oh yeah, and he is honestly one of the funniest human beings I know.
Yeah.
He's amazing. So, but now I'm back. I'm glad to be back. I'm back in the New York groove.
Just like Ace Frehley.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I hosted a trivia at Nice Guys Pizza in your stead.
You did.
On Wednesday. I heard that there were some complaints.
So I walked in immediately.
Yeah.
Because I flew in back on Friday. Saturday, I was playing two shows there. And one of the first things I walk in, and this guy goes, yeah, trivia on Wednesday. Guy had come in, got a couple questionable questions. And I was like, all right. And one of which apparently was about the baby Archie.
Yes. Which I thought was a fair question. I asked about the royal baby that was born. I said, this is the baby's name. Who are their parents?
Yes.
Who's this baby's parents? Read the full name.
His qualm was that you said apparently that the baby was born today, but the baby hadn't been born that day. They were born like 2 days earlier. But I agree with you that when you say this baby named Archie was born to what parents?
I think I might have meant to say birth announcement because they had come out that day and said this is the baby's name.
You can
the baby reveal.
Yeah, you can still guess.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, however.
Yes. Yes. You told me it was the question about the electromagnetic spectrum and which type of radiation has the longest wavelengths.
Bum, bum, ba-da, bum,
yeah,
bum,
a little miscorrection here.
Bum, bum, ba-da,
yep. I have to admit, I made a mistake. I asked what the longest wave was on the electromagnetic spectrum. The answer is radio waves. I accepted gamma rays as the answer, but it's actually flipped. Radio is the longest, gamma is the shortest. And the worst part of all of this is I went back and looked at the score and the wrong team won the entire evening based on this discrepancy. Steve's Silky Touch won that night, but there should have been a tiebreaker with lowering the bar to decide the victor. I believe that's the team that your person was on there. Now, I've had some boners in my day. Trust me, I have. But never have I made a boner this large before. So I have to say I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, but most of all, Mark, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to you, sorry to your players, and
I appreciate
I'm sorry
you.
To God if they exist.
I appreciate you owning up to it. You know, it was funny because when I first mentioned it to you, you were like, no. Opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
They're like completely wrong. And I was like, hey, man, I take your word for it.
And then doubt crept in later that night when I got home after you told me.
And look, and again, that's one of the, you know, that's one of the things, man. Like, you think you know, and we all make oopsies.
Yep,
so.
Yep. It was one of 300 questions I wrote that week, well, with the help of Kyle, you know. Yeah. So we only got one, I guess if you want to call the Windsor baby, royal baby one, 1.5 questions out of 300.
Yeah.
Ain't too bad. Let's go ahead and get into our overall weekly wrap-up, though. Last Wednesday, as I said, at Nice Guys Pizza, Steve Silky Touch and Lowering the Bar. We're going to call it a tie right now, 52 points apiece. Should have done a tiebreaker, but it's too late for that now. The following night, on Thursday at number 3 on May 9th, No Pants Friday won with 101 points as our highest score out of this segment of scores here. Then on May 11th, the following Saturday, we're back at number 3 for Disney Trivia, where Platinum Level Pass Holders won with 76 points.
What a perfect name.
Total shutout victory by them, too. They won every round. Then on the following Monday, we were back at 3 Pepper, the Damp Duo. You guys won a shortened version of that quiz with 37 points. Very low winning score, but winners nonetheless.
High for one round.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty. Yeah, round. Exactly. For one round.
I think we missed one question.
Yep.
We got all the questions right on the bonus content.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got
which one, is famous quotes.
And then we got one question wrong in the regular trivia.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised.
On Wednesday, DFWM won at Bury Me Brewing Company with 79 points. And finally, on Thursday, at number 3, Peanut the Dog Barked at Our Ethnically Ambiguous Teammate won with 99 points. So congratulations to them. How'd your teams do over at Nice Guys this week?
I want to know what DFWM stands for.
I've never asked, but I shouldn't I?
Absolutely. My trivia went well. We had a last round win by Alex's team.
Yeah, he was on the Peanut the Dog team, so indeed. Picking up two in a row there.
We did have a team called Don't Come in Alabama, which I thought was very funny. And as a matter of fact, there was a team.
Not Don't Come to Alabama. Don't come in Alabama. Yeah,
absolutely.
Ejaculate outside the state lines, please.
Please and thank you. There was a team there with a little daughter. And, you know, usually Nice Guys doesn't have anybody under 18 allowed after, or 21 allowed after 9 o'clock, which is when trivia starts.
Yeah.
So we have people with all kinds of words in the title.
Right, but come is spelled C-O-M-E, right?
No.
And it means...
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was C-U-M.
Oh.
So all I could do is hope that this girl did not understand what that meant. But we also... the winning team was Anal Queef with 47 points. God. And it's... pretty hard to mask that to mean something else.
You gotta hope nobody's explained to a child what a queef is. Basically.
But yeah, so that was our winning team.
Word. Well, congratulations to Anal Queef.
Anal Queef.
The winners of your trivia.
Congratulations to Anal Queef.
Please, if you're out there listening and you need a team name, consider Anal Queef, please. if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, on Monday, May 20th, at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30 p.m. Once again, the final category will be U.S. History, courtesy of Duffy the Delivery Guy. 3 weeks in a row on that one. Wednesday, May 22nd.
Wednesday would be a good thing, like take a picture of your boyfriend or girlfriend and post it on Instagram and be like, oh, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I guess you could do that any Tuesday.
Any Sunday. Bay, any day of bay, any bay day. Wednesday, May 22nd, will be at Bury Me Brewing Company at 7 p.m. The final category that night will be Facebook security flubs, suggested by Team Hackerspace. Afterwards, go on over to Nice Guys. Check out Mark's trivia there on Wednesday, May 22nd. Then on Thursday, May 23rd, at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, at 7:30 p.m., Mark Davis will be returning the hosting duty favor.
Check
him out at number 3 on Thursday that week, May 23rd.
Numero tres.
Yeah. What's the final category? Who selected that last night? I'm trying to think of who it was. It was, the team was whatever you want it to be, and they said the Porsche. The car or the Porsche will be the final question category for that night.
And you'll send that to me.
Yes,
so I
will.
Remember
yep.
that.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every round. Join us. Won't you?
How did that happen? How did that happen?
I wanted to go up that time.
I wanted to go up too.
We went up together.
I thought you were going to go down for sure. Certainly you'll go down.
You know, at the last second, I was like, no, I'm going up this time.
Whoops.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back in round one with some trivia. Mark, you've been gone for a little bit. Why don't you kick us off with this first round, if you don't mind, with a question?
Sounds good to me.
All right. And by us, I mean me.
You.
I'm answering. We're guestless today.
Here we go.
Finally, some fucking peace and quiet around here.
Yeah, finally. Get everybody the fuck out of here. Close this shop down for once. Name three songs off of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, not including the first and penultimate tracks, which are self-titled.
Right. When I'm 64 is on that album. A Day in the Life is on that album. And Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is on that album.
All correct.
Yeah. Let me see if I can recall any others. See, now I'm going to fuck it up. Is Lovely Rita on there?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, man. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, I believe, is track number two.
No.
No? Three? It's early, isn't it?
It's, I think, track...
Side A.
Three. Yeah, it's track three.
What is track two? Shit. I listened the hell out of this album as a kid. Billy Sears, what would you do if I sang out a tune? Yep. Get By with a Little Help from My Friends. I guess that song's just called A Little Help from My Friends, right? Or just A Little Help?
With A Little Help from My
Friends. With A Little Help from My Friends. I don't know. That's five. I feel confident. I'm throwing
Getting Better.
Yep.
Got to admit, it's getting better. Fixing a Hole. She's Leaving Home.
Oh, yeah.
Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. Within You, Without You. When I'm 64. Lovely Rita. Good Morning, Good Morning. And then, of course, A Day in the Life.
Wow. And then the reprise. Mm-hmm. The Sgt. Pepper reprise. The rockin' version.
No, the reprise is before.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Because they have the reprise and you think it's all over and then you hear the acoustic.
Right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Ooh, chills. Dun, chills dun, up my spine. Dun, dun, doo, 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 boom. All right.
Yeah.
I got a sports question for you.
Okay.
First, the Charlotte Hornets, a professional basketball team that was first active from 1988 to 2002, spawned what other NBA team after the franchise relocated, keeping the Hornets name, history, and records until the NBA returned them to Charlotte in 2013. What other NBA team spawned from the Charlotte Hornets?
I know this too. I know it. And I have an answer. You said 2002?
Yes, in 2002 they moved somewhere. And they kept the Hornets name for a while, but eventually changed it and gave the Hornets name back to Charlotte.
Charlotte Hornets. Moved and became the what Hornets? God damn it.
It was basically a decade of disaster for this team.
Yeah, this is kind of like one of it's like a mixture between the Browns and the Jazz. Because, you know, Utah Jazz, it's like, Jazz Utah? No, because they were originally the New Orleans Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns got moved. The Browns are such a storied franchise in football. They were moved to Baltimore, became the Baltimore Ravens. And the NFL expanded and just gave the Cleveland Browns back to Cleveland. They were like, sorry, because their owner, Art Modell, was such a piece of shit. Everybody hated him. The Charlotte Hornets. See, when the Charlotte Hornets played basketball is when I cared more about basketball. I was young. This is the Michael Jordan era.
They had
Alonzo Mourning was on there. Muggsy Bogues. What was that one really big dude?
Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
Oh, somebody else.
Larry.
Bird.
No.
I didn't watch a lot of basketball besides like the Magic and the Bulls were kind of the two teams that everybody was fawning over. And this was the era of Space Jam as well. So it was more about the pop culture than the sport itself for me. But I do remember the Hornets having like a kick-ass logo.
I love turquoise and purple.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
As colors together.
Hell yeah. Whoever designed that logo killed the game on that.
And it was a very 90s logo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Knicks were really hot. A lot of people were the Pistons, the Bulls. I was a Celtics fan, so I was paying attention to the Celtics one way or another. They got moved, and they were still the Hornets. That's the thing that's hanging me up, because I want to say the Pelicans. I'm trying to think of all the teams that are around now. 2002, a team that was newer. There was the Toronto Raptors. They wouldn't have been the Toronto Hornets. So I'm trying to understand. So the Charlotte Hornets moved to another place.
Yep. They kept the Hornets name.
Uh-huh. Then they took the Hornets name from them and did the Charlotte Hornets again.
Yep. They are currently the Charlotte Hornets.
They had to change their logo and mascot.
They basically lost the Hornets team name.
So they were like the something else Hornets. Now they're the something else something else.
That's right.
Fuck. The New Orleans Hornets. I'm going to say New Orleans.
That's right. The New Orleans Pelicans are their current name.
So I knew the Pelicans. Yep. Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Yeah, they just won the first draft of the NBA lottery. They're going to get Zion Williamson.
Right. That's kind of what's that news story is what spawned me writing this question, actually. I was looking to see what was going on in sports.
One of the things that kept me on there. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I know that they're also like in the news.
Yeah, so. I think that helps as a trivia player, too, sometimes. Like, not always, but sometimes these are spawned by current events and you know, the team name, the New Orleans Pelicans, is out there in the zeitgeist right now, basically. So if you go and, you know, you're trying to make an educated guess at a trivia question, think about what's going on in the news. You know, what's that quizmaster reading? But are you curious about the long and detailed story of this?
Sure.
This name change? Okay. So first, Charlotte Hornets owner George Shin is his name. He was a businessman. Also the father of Chris Shin, who stood in for the lead singer of Live, Ed, what's his name? Ed
Kowalczyk.
Kowalczyk, yeah. He stood in for him during the 2012-2016 period when Ed was doing his solo stuff. Mm-hmm. So basically Live toured with this guy's son. But anyways, owner George Shin was accused of kidnapping and raping a woman in Charlotte. And the trial went very public, which kind of soured everybody's taste on this guy.
I'm sure.
In general. Even though the jury did not support the claim that he kidnapped or assaulted a woman, it did reveal two extramarital affairs. And basically, they just did not want this guy involved in their basketball team anymore. So Shin left town, took the Hornets with him to New Orleans.
Where they don't give a shit about extramarital affairs.
Well, he's running into town like the Music Man. I've got my basketball team. Right. He had a few bids on different places, like in Memphis. They eventually wound up in New Orleans. But then in 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana, and the Hornets had to move to Oklahoma City briefly. So they were the Oklahoma City Hornets for two seasons while the stadium was rebuilt in New Orleans. Then in 2010, Shin is at this point totally cash strapped and he can't afford to run the team anymore.
Jesus.
So the NBA buys the team from him. And finally, a couple years later, New Orleans Saints owner Tom Benson acquires the Hornets. He wants a more localized name. So he asks Utah to return the Jazz to him because they're like, hey, this is, you know, you started that name in when you were the New Orleans Jazz, then you moved to Utah. So just like, we're going to give the Hornets back, you give us the Jazz back. But the Utah Jazz was like, fuck you. No, we're the Utah Jazz.
No.
So in 2012, they settled on the New Orleans Pelicans. And by 2013, at the request of Charlotte Bobcats owner Michael Jordan, yes, that Michael Jordan from Space Jam, the NBA decides to give the Hornets
your favorite movie.
Yeah, the NBA decides to give the Hornets team name back to Charlotte. So that is the whole story of the
Holy
Hornets.
Holy shit!
Yeah, who
I
knew?
Wonder if there's a consolidated effort in New Orleans to have more Jazz.
Right?
Or not New Orleans, but Utah. I wonder if they're like, guys, come on.
Our name's
we gotta
Jazz.
Make Jazz yeah. bigger.
Here, we're the know, new Jazz capital of the U.S.
Craig Sanborn and all these people to come there and play saxophone and stuff. Come on, guys.
Yeah, so some other names that were considered by Tom Benson were the New Orleans Crew or the New Orleans Brass were some other team names.
Ooh, but New Orleans Brass is good.
Yeah, they went with the Pelicans, which was actually a baseball team name back in, I think, the 20s or 30s.
Oh, really?
New Orleans Pelicans. So they switched sports on that one. But that's my first question.
All right, here's your second.
Okay.
Blue laws prohibit certain activities when?
Blue laws?
Yes.
While being a cop? Certain activities while being a cop? My first thought was, you know, is working blue means you're cursing a lot in comedy, right? Or does it mean the opposite? You're working clean. You're clean. If you're working blue, that means you're talking about adult themes. So maybe it's got something to do with that. You know, like, obscenity or something like that. Performance. Blue laws. Well, there's also, yeah, I mean, blue is kind of like the color of the police, you know, the boys in blue, as the old whoop, saying
whoop,
goes.
That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop.
That's
the sound of the police.
It's a KRS-One song, anti-police song. Yes. Boggles my mind that police officers listen to that loudly in their cars. Like, makes almost as much sense as Gene Simmons delivering a Pentagon speech. Oh, wait, that happened too. What the hell?
What is happening?
And now you're telling me Grumpy Cat
and
is dead?
Grumpy Cat's dead. Doris Day's dead.
Don't come in Alabama. I'm going to say performance.
The correct answer is Sundays.
Blue laws. Sunday? Like the ice cream? Or like the day of the week?
The day of the week.
So activities that can't be done on a Sunday.
Yep.
By law.
Mm-hmm.
Those are regulated by blue laws. Mm-hmm. Wonder where the connection comes from, blue?
Well, it's funny that you say it's a religious thing.
Okay.
So it's probably related to blue being obscene because on Sundays, such a religious day, that blue laws restrict any kind of, like, probably drinking to an extent, you know?
Yeah.
Vulgar
no Chick-fil-A.
Probably can't fuck.
Don't fuck. Don't eat Chick-fil-A. Don't fuck.
It's like straight edge. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't fuck.
Instead of an X, they just have, like, blue paint. I'm afraid I blew myself.
It's their blue period.
Yeah. All right. I have a question for you about 1980s pop culture.
Ooh.
What?
Alien life form.
No. What exclusive line of jackets gained popularity in the 1980s, known for its collar strap and knitted trim, as well as its thin epaulets?
Well, I definitely have a go-to answer for this.
Okay.
But I'm trying to figure out the other shit you're talking about because I'm worried that my answer is wrong. By its what?
There's a collar strap around the neck. There's like an extra strap that you can strap in. And then there's it has knitted trim. So at the end of the sleeves, it's kind of like an elastic knitted and around the bottom as well. And it also has thin epaulets on the shoulder, military-inspired epaulets. That snap in. What is the name of this exclusive line of jackets?
Oh, okay. Exclusive.
Yeah.
I like that. So my go-to answer at first, as soon as you started talking, was starter jackets.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's more of a 90s thing. Big with basketball.
Right.
A friend of mine had a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket.
Oh, I bet that teal and purple.
Dude,
ooh.
It was so popping. It was slamming. It slaps, if you will.
The jacket slaps.
But there's only one kind of exclusive 80s jacket, and that's members only.
That's right. That's right. Members only. Famously worn by Wayne Knight as Dennis Nedry in Jurassic Park and Burt Reynolds in the 1985 action film Stick. Do you have a members only jacket?
No.
I don't have one either, but I do have a hand me down gold Generation 1 jacket that is the exact same design. Ooh. And Kyle admitted it did look good to me on one of our first dates, so I'm chalking that up as a win. Yeah. Members only or not. I was not part of the club, but I found a Generation 1 jacket did just the same.
Absolutely. All right, here is your third question.
All right.
In 2002, Sony ended production of its recorders using what doomed video standard?
Doomed video standard. You're a video guy. Yeah. Doomed video standard. Sony ended production of its recorders?
Yep. In 2002.
Audio recorders?
No. Nope.
Well, no, your video recorders.
Yep.
2002.
The year of our Lord. Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out. And you said video standard.
Yes. What doomed video standard? That's how the question was written.
When I think of video standards, my first thought is like broadcast standards like PAL or NTSC. But I don't think that's what you're asking about. I think you might be asking about...
Just think of like a video type.
I think you might be asking about at the beginning of the war between Blu-ray and HD DVD, maybe. I don't know if there was recordable
that
HD
kind of stuff.
DVDs. 2002. I don't know why. Let's see here. 2002. Now I'm going into my dark place. I was 3 years past seeing The Matrix. That's my good touchstone for time. When did I see The Matrix? 1999. DVDs? I don't know. But 2002, that's when they were starting to make HD DVDs. That's not when they ended. That was a couple years later. But a more ubiquitous thing that would end would be VHS. And 2002 sounds just around the right amount of time to linger on a little too long. So I'm going to go with VHS.
The correct answer is Betamax.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay, so I should have gone back a little further.
So 2002.
Wow. You know, I think that's got to have something to do with the news industry, right? Because didn't they use Betamax? Like, they adopted the format broadly in, like, the 70s, 80s, and...
I will be definitely talking way over my head here, but if I remember correctly, Betamax was a better but more expensive, and you didn't necessarily get like the payoff was not so great. It was better, but you were paying so much more for not that much better that VHS is what took off instead of Betamax. But I think a lot of industries were still using Betamax because it was a higher quality. Eventually they just... Betamax cassettes were available until 2016.
Wow.
They just stopped making them.
I wonder what the last most recent movie you can get on Betamax is.
That's a really good question.
My third question for you has to do with movies and heavy metal. How do you feel about those categories?
I feel decent.
Okay.
Movies like metal.
What 1990s metal band was named after a 1932 horror film which starred Bela Lugosi, which itself was based on a play titled The Magic Island by William Seabrook? Is a 90s metal band. It is also a 1932 horror film which starred Bela Lugosi. That film was based on a play titled The Magic Island by William Seabrook.
I'm not going to fuck around too much here. The movie thing doesn't help me at all. But for some reason, when you told me metal and movies right off, my first inclination was White Zombie. I know they were in the 90s. I don't know if you would call them metal. You know, it's interesting. I think you and I can't remember if it was on or off mic, but we were talking about AC/DC.
Yeah, that was on mic, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. AC/DC to me is not a metal band at all. But I also grew up listening to Megadeth, Metallica, Slayer, Obituary, like metal. So AC/DC,
speed metal, thrash metal,
yeah like the big four, Anthrax here and there, etc. So to me, when you listen to that, mostly when you grow up listening to fucking respect by Pantera and stuff, AC/DC is,
you know. Wait. That song's called Walk, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. You're right.
Respect.
Yeah.
Walk.
What do you say?
That was Rob Van Dam's entrance music in ECW Wrestling, I remember.
No way, punk.
Yeah.
Says an angry racist Phil Anselmo. I would say if you're going to count White Zombie as a metal band, I'm going to say White Zombie.
Yes, it is White Zombie. Wow. You're right. Your inclination to go towards movies and metal.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also knew he did a lot of stuff with he's like really into movies. So he would be a good guess with him doing the Halloween remake.
Mm-hmm. House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects. Yep. Yeah. Big horror film buff. Yeah. And so your inclination was totally right on that. Beautiful. White Zombie, the movie is considered to be the first full-length zombie film that was ever commercially released in the U.S. Yeah, so
1937, you said?
32.
30, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
So it's not like a dying and coming back zombie. I think it's more of like the traditional like mind control version.
Gotcha. You
know, like do my will.
Like
my
Dahmer bidding. Was trying to do by dripping acid in people's brains, just like...
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. So, yeah, okay. I haven't seen White Zombie, but something along those lines.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, it's 3-3,
right?
That's
the first round.
Okay. We'll take another little break, and then we'll be back with Missed Correction.
Ooh.
Miscorrection, Mark.
Oh, boy.
This is not a true miscorrection. This is more of an addendum. Joey, our friend Joey from Maine, wrote in regarding Frankie's question about Henry VIII's wives. Joey writes, I was just listening to episode 45, Bodice Ripper, and when you were all trying to suss out the question about Henry VIII's wives, I kept screaming, divorced, beheaded, she died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. Which is a rather macabre way to remember how many wives he had and what became of them. Technically, the two divorces were actually annulments, but same difference to us heathens.
Huh.
Yeah. Divorced, beheaded, she died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. That's easy enough to remember that the first time I read this email, I walked out of the room and I remembered it instantly. So absolutely. That's perfect, really.
Yeah, that's really
thanks,
neat.
Joey. Good way to remember that.
We're big fans of mnemonics. We're big mm-hmm. fans of... easy ways to remember stuff like that, like songs.
Trivia Mind Hacks trademark. Yeah, we're going to call it the No No Trivia Mind Hack.
We'll have to come out with our own little kit.
Yeah. A mnemonic kit.
Yeah.
Our no mnemonics. Oh, boy. Don't give us any money. Don't give us any more money. We will misspend it.
Stop, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into round two.
You're first.
Okay, this is a 70s disco question, and honestly, I will be surprised if you don't get this, but let's see what happens.
Okay.
Guitarist Nile Rodgers and the late Bernie Edwards, bassist, formed what disco band in 1976, known for such hits as La Freak and Good Times, a song that was famously sampled in the first hip-hop rap chart topper, Rapper's Delight, by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Boop. Boop, 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 boop,
yep. Boop, boop, it's a Bernie boop, Edwards boop, original, inspired boop, 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 the bass line of Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Yeah.
As well
when
as many others.
When Another One Bites the Dust came out, everybody thought they were black. Did you know that?
I did not.
They were played on like predominantly black stations and everybody thought they were black.
Hmm. Yeah, well, they're ripping off Bernie Edwards, that's why.
Yeah. Le Freak, if I remember correctly, has to be Chic.
Right. They say the name of the band in the next line of that song. Le Freak, Le Chic.
And that's what made me think like maybe I was wrong because I was like, well, they say Chic in the damn title.
Right.
Or in the song. So
no, it's a bit of a giveaway, but you know, younger listeners
know the song to know that.
Yes, you do. Younger listeners may know Nile Rodgers as the guitarist from Daft Punk's Get Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwards, the bass player, worked with many. He was a producer as well as a bassist. And Chic was actually the backing band on a lot of disco hits for other artists as well.
Interesting.
Kind of like the what was the Motown one? The not the Power Company. The See, the bulldozers. What is the name of that?
I was going to go with
the Wrecking Crew.
Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So Chic was kind of like the Wrecking Crew, where they were the house band on a lot of other artists.
The Swampers.
Hits. Yep.
What was I going to say? Nile Rodgers also did a really interesting episode of, because, you know, I'm a big podcast guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did a very interesting episode of Broken Record, where he actually talks in not minute detail, but pretty interesting detail about producing Let's Dance.
Oh, from Bowie.
From Bowie.
And that makes a lot of sense.
And it's interesting to hear how what David Bowie came into the studio with.
Yeah.
And he was like, do this, do that.
Oh,
I'm going to do this.
I got to hear this.
It's awesome.
All right. We'll
it's
put really, a link really awesome. In the show notes to that episode.
Yeah, the whole
too.
Episode it's called is
Broken Record.
To. Yeah.
Okay.
It's done by Malcolm Gladwell and why is his name escaped? My favorite producer of all time.
Rick Rubin?
Rick Rubin. It's in conjunction with the two of them.
Right on.
And they talk to a bunch of other producers and musicians. It's a really, really good listen.
Yeah.
Here's your first question.
Mm-hmm.
What TV show did Private Practice spin off from? The TV show Private Practice spun off from what other TV show?
If I could have one hint, is this show still on the air? Either of these?
I don't know. Let me look.
My inclination is that it's an older show. And Private Practice obviously brings to mind the legal system.
It is still on the air.
The
one that it came
that.
Off from.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit.
there
goes my whole theory. I was going to say Boston Legal or Ally McBeal, but neither of those are on the air anymore. Those are 90s shows. It's not JAG. That's not Private, and that's not on the air. I mean, maybe it's not necessarily legal. Practice medicine? Private practice. What is being practiced in private? I don't know.
The original show is still in the air. The offshoot is not.
Private Practice is the offshoot, right?
Yes.
Okay. But the original
is still in the air.
Still in the air. Hmm. Private Practice. Lawyers. Shows with lawyers. I don't know. Better Call Saul has lawyers on, but I don't think that spawned any spinoffs that were named Private Practice.
What about medical dramas?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it could be medical. Grey's Anatomy, I think, is still on the air. ER's gone. Scrubs is gone. Scrubs spinoff, Private Practice. We'll go with Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. I feel like you're leaning me into it, but that's my guess.
I was, and you're correct.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the assist there. I'm not going to take credit for that. I wouldn't have ended up there, I don't think. question for you, though. Television question. Or marsupials in pop culture is how I have it listed for my live trivia. Marsupials in pop culture. What kind of marsupial had their own animated sitcom produced by Warner Brothers, which aired from 1991 to 1994 on Fox? What kind of marsupial had their own animated sitcom produced by Warner Brothers, which aired from 1991 to 1994 on Fox?
Is this one of those you'd be surprised if I didn't get it?
I don't know. I mean, 91 to 94, you're a little older than me, but I feel like you would have some awareness over like animated sitcoms at that point.
Well, first of all, is trying to figure out, I know what a marsupial is, but trying to like, of course, the most obvious marsupial is the kangaroo.
Right.
We're talking mammals with a
pouch. That's the Pavlov. Yeah. Yep. Everybody thinks kangaroo when you say marsupial, basically.
There was Rocco's Modern Life, which was an animated show. Did you say animated sitcom?
Yes, but for our purposes, that would be considered an animated sitcom.
I don't even know what the fuck Rocco was.
Situational comedy.
Willoughby? Wallaby?
He was a wallaby.
Wallaby might be in our marsupial. I'm going to go with Rocco's Modern Life.
Rocco's Modern Life aired on Nickelodeon from 1993 to 1996. The show I'm talking about is Tasmania, starring a Tasmanian devil. The Tasmanian devil from Looney Tunes.
Really?
Fame.
Yes. I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tasmania was one of a trio of programming which included Tiny Toon Adventures and Animaniacs. Tasmania was the third in that package. Really? That ran during those times. Yep.
Now, did the Tasmanian devil talk in it?
Interestingly enough, the show revealed that he could speak the common tongue when he desired, and it did some fourth wall breaking and stuff like that. But it revolved around him and his family. He had Leave It to Beaver, but with Taz instead of Beaver, you know. So he had like a 1950s style dad and a mom and a sister and a younger energetic brother. And eventually he like takes a job at a hotel where he does meet another marsupial wallaby named Mr. Thickley, who is voiced by Dan Castellaneta from The Simpsons in an early role.
I didn't know the Tasmanian devil was a marsupial.
The more you know.
Yeah. Also, just to bring this up while I was looking up information about Grey's Anatomy, the theme song for most of that show's life is by a band called Sapp. P-S-A-P-P. It is
with a silent P.
Yeah.
You're telling me their name is Sapp and they put a silent P at the front of their name?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how it's pronounced.
That's bold.
Maybe it's Pasap.
That's bold.
It is bold. but they are credited with inventing a musical style known as Toytronica, a form of electronica made with toys and toy instruments, like toy guitars, flutes, and a chicken they named Brunhilde.
Hmm.
And they've done songs that have been in Nip Tuck, the OC, and a show on in the UK called Sugar Rush, for whatever that's worth.
Hmm.
Just like to give a little extra information when I can, you know?
What about Octagonal Yours? You remember that band?
I do remember that
band. With the guy from Pinback? They used a toy instrument. Does Sapp predate?
I think they only use toy instruments.
And Octagonal Yours only uses an octagon. So that's one toy. I'm just saying, I don't know. This Toytronica thing sounds like marketing jargon.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'm sure it is.
Some suit wrote that.
Your second question. In 2001, what surpassed tuna as America's most eaten seafood?
Now, are you asking me what the real answer is, or what the, like, what are we really eating, or what do they say it is?
What are we really eating?
Okay. Well, I have two guesses here. One of which is dolphin, which I think is, like, you know, you could sell this tuna still, you know, it would really be dolphin, the fish, not the porpoise, like right. Mammal. You know, the dolphin fish.
Not the animal that will soon overtake us.
Right. a child asked me the other day what animal I would want to be if I wasn't a human. And I said dolphin. I just feel like that's the closest to like the human brain you could probably experience, you know?
See, I
just imagine zipping around underwater.
I would want to be something that did not have all of this weight on my mind. I'd want to be like a fucking fly or something.
Oh, really? 2 weeks and then nothing? Yeah, that's it?
Please. Honestly, if you can make this life two weeks, if you know a guy, let's talk.
Oh, that's a new dark place. That's a different type of dark place that you can go. That does not help with trivia too much. My second guess would be salmon. And I think that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with salmon. I feel like as far as fish goes, I don't know. I just feel like salmon's on the rise.
The correct answer is scrimps.
Oh, did you say fish or did you say?
I said seafood.
Oh, okay. I did not include any of the crustaceans in that. Yeah, piece of the shrimp. Piece of the shrimp.
Yeah.
Who's looking out for them? My stomach.
Not mine.
I love them. You don't like shrimp?
I hate seafood.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, you know. For me, it's 50-50, but shrimp are definitely on my positive list.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of animals, I have an animal byproducts question for you.
Perfect. Let's go with the animals. We got seafood. We've got wallabies. We've got fucking marsupials. We got whatever this is.
This is a wild episode.
Indeed.
We're going wild on you. All right. I will tell you as a hint, the answer is a pun. The answer is a pun. So listen carefully. A resin secreted by female blood. I gotta start over. I'm sorry.
He's got the giggles. What's going on with you?
Just the word secreted gets me going.
Secretions.
No, I should tell you though, it is a pun, but you have to listen very carefully.
Okay, I'm listening. You gotta ask the question.
Just listen, Mark. Okay. Listen carefully. A resin secreted by female bugs that live on trees in the forests of India and Thailand, used primarily in the finish of furniture and musical instruments, as well as to add wax to produce that's sold in stores, is called what? What is the name of the type of resin that is secreted by female bugs that live on trees in the forests of India and Thailand, and is used primarily in the finish of furniture and musical instruments, as well as to add wax to produce that's sold in stores? What is the name of that resin?
Well, now, when you say that the answer is a pun, I don't know if I understand what you mean. I think you've kind of clogged up my brain a little bit with that.
Okay, ignore that I said that. But you should just know that a pun is coming. I'm warning you.
Okay.
Fair warning. And I'll tell you the pun has to deal with the fact that these are female bugs.
I like how you say ignore it, and then you fed it more. A wax from female bugs.
It's also used in the finish of furniture and musical instruments. It's a type of resin secreted by female bugs. Now, there's part of this pun that's not in this question. You have to know what the name of the bug is in order to complete the pun.
Right. I'm going to say beeswax.
No.
Okay.
Nope. That's a good guess. I had some teams that wrote that down, but they are the lac bugs. So the resin is shellac. Female bugs. Shellac.
That's... Yeah, that pun thing
you hate
screwed
it, don't
me
you?
Up.
Yep.
Well, the pun thing screwed me up more than anything. I thought it would
I
be...
I probably shouldn't have mentioned
a
it.
A pun with something I knew.
Yeah.
But I had no hope of knowing that that was the pun.
I'm sorry. I ruined that question.
Oh, it's okay.
I admit. All right.
That's why I went with beeswax, because like, well, it's an insect that's a bee.
You don't know about the lac bug?
No.
I don't think anybody does. But when I saw that, I was like, holy shit, it's shellac, female bug, female lac bug. Maybe it's not even intentional. Maybe it's a coincidence, but.
Might be.
I feel like it's got to be a pun.
I'm going to ask you another animal question. No, I'm not. I'm not going to.
Please.
You really want
to Let's go
one?
Wild. We're going wild.
Dog teeth.
No, gone wild.
Dog teeth tetras. No, I'm not going to ask this. A tree that loses its leaves every year is called what in the world of horticulture and botany?
That loses its leaves every year?
Yes.
I believe that's called a perennial. So that's what I'm going to go with.
The correct answer is deciduous.
Deciduous. Okay.
A tree. Perennials, I think, are flowers.
Right.
That every 2 years.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I might be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, deciduous. I've heard that before once or twice, but got to lock that in.
I did put people, yeah. I did have people that put perennial or, okay. Let me see.
Yeah, I think with trees, you're right. It's a
plant that lives more than 2 years.
Okay. All right.
Is a perennial.
And an annual is a plant that lives one, I suppose.
Probably.
And an evergreen tree is one that does not lose its leaves during the year. So a deciduous tree is one that doesn't.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Now you know.
All right. I think that's 3-3, right?
That is.
Wow.
Wow. Just scooting right along.
Zipping and zooming. I'm not ready for our final questions. I want to do this some more.
Well, we can talk about Game of Thrones.
Well, it's not really trivia, you know. We'll talk off here. We'll be back in just a second.
And maybe with more questions. Maybe we'll do two final questions.
Sure.
Maybe we'll do some bonus content for all of those lovely people giving us money for Patreon.
Maybe, maybe not. I will tell you, we have a Rate My Question coming up. So we'll hit that first.
I'm ready.
We're back, and it's time for the first time in a while, a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question.
Our friend Aaron from New York, my friend Aaron Amott, great artist, pyrotechnician, circus man, theater guy. He writes, I've never tried to construct a trivia question before, so I hope it's not too esoteric. And I did not look up the answer to this, so we'll be trying to solve this together, but it is does deal with something that we've talked about on the podcast before, the Amundsen Scott Station in Antarctica, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
In 1911, this is Aaron's question. In 1911, using skis and sled dogs, Roald Amundsen and his crew were the first to reach the South Pole. Just over a decade later, in 1926, he would lead the first verified expedition to the North Pole. Previous claims to have reached the North Pole via ships and sled dogs proved to be inaccurate or outright fraud. What method did Roald use to finally reach the pole? It says, yeah, ships and sled dogs were used before and were either inaccurate or just fraudulent claims of getting to the North Pole. What method did Roald Amundsen use to finally reach the pole?
In what year?
1926. The first verified expedition to the North Pole. And I guess this doesn't really have to do with the Amundsen Scott Station, but it does involve one of those travelers. I believe Scott died while going to the South Pole, if you remember. He missed his rendezvous point, and then him and his crew starved.
Whoops.
Yep.
What a bummer.
But Roald Amundsen went on to go to the North Pole after that. Do you have any theories?
Well, I think clearly it's not sled dogs.
Yeah, he said ships and sled dogs.
But he said previously.
Mm-hmm.
Those were previous ones. So it can't be either of those.
Yeah, I mean, that is it does not clarify. He might have used it. And yeah. I would say that would make this a terribly written question if that was the case.
Right.
But we're going to assume no. So maybe that could be an improvement, is just saying what other method instead of what method did he use?
Airplane.
Airplane? Snowmobile. 1926? 1926?
Yeah, when were airplanes invented? There's a question for you.
I think before that, but to use them to get to the North Pole, like...
Yeah, well, they had airplanes for the World War II, and...
I think you're barking up the right tree, but I'm thinking it's either maybe a hot air balloon, or a Zeppelin, blimp, something along those lines.
Hot air
balloon. Rather than like a motorized, you know...
I wonder if a hot air balloon would be more dangerous or less dangerous in those conditions.
Don't they throw balloons up there all the time?
I have no idea.
They just put balloons up?
They just throw a fucking balloon up. Fuck it. Hey, just
put an internet in that balloon and put it in the sky.
Turn the fire on this thing and just let it fucking go. Who gives a fuck? No one lives out here.
That's my guess. I'm going with hot air balloon. I mean, what do you think about that? You got another idea?
I wouldn't say it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Snowmobile?
No. 1926?
Yeah.
You think they had snowmobiles in 1926?
Maybe like an early version of it.
Like a Model T? Can go in the snow?
All right, we'll go with hot air balloon.
All right, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up.
What if he rode a fucking whale?
Good Lord, this is a long article. Reaching the North Pole.
He can reach my North Pole, if you know what I mean.
In 1926, this is according to Wikipedia, in 1926, Amundsen and 15 other men made the first crossing of the Arctic in the airship Norge, which was designed by Nobile. Who's that? Somebody previously.
It's a Zeppelin.
Somebody previously. Yeah. Semi-rigid Italian-built airship that carried the first verified trip of any kind in the North Pole, and likely the first verified overflight on May 12, 1926. It was also the first aircraft to fly over the polar ice cap between Europe and America. The expedition was the brainchild of polar explorer and expedition leader Roald Amundsen, the airship's designer and pilot Umberto Nobile, and American explorer Lincoln Ellsworth, who along with the Aero Club of Norway financed the trip, which was known as the Amundsen-Ellsworth 1926 Transpolar Flight.
Lincoln Ellsworth.
Cool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to do it. I think that that's a pretty good question.
Yeah.
It has some establishing information, you know,
yeah,
to get you in the mood and wet your palate.
I was going to say it seemed maybe like a little too much information. I'd maybe parse it down just a hair if you can. But I know sometimes you can't. I've had questions where I've been reading. I'm like, I know this is long, but
yeah.
I just want to get some information out of the way. And like you said, kind of like set up the parameters of
right
what the answer isn't.
It's certainly good for a podcast, a trivia podcast. Oh, a live setting, you might want to get in and out a little bit quicker and just
I'll give it an down. A
yeah, I give it an A as well. All right, thanks. Very Aaron good. And if yeah. you have a rate my question or miscorrection, you can reach us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com by email, or you can call us at 1-929-3-NO-NO and leave us a voice message on our voice message machine.
That's 3-K-N-O-W-N-O.
That's right. And I don't have the digits in front of me, but we'll hit that at the end of the episode here. So yeah. Stick around or spell it out.
All right. Time for the last question.
Yep.
Antananarivo is the capital of which African country? Antananarivo. That's A-N-T-A-N-A-N-A-R-I-V-O.
I-V-O.
I might be pronouncing that wrong.
Wow.
So we're clear, but
yeah, I don't know. Unless you, I don't know how you could pronounce it that I would know the answer. yeah.
Antananarivo. Antananarivo. Yeah.
I mean, I could take a shot in the dark here, you know.
How many African countries are there? 40 something?
There's many. Yeah. There's certainly.
There's some, you know, it's not.
I guess.
Well, like South yeah. Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Johannesburg, probably. Yeah.
Probably. Or is it?
I think so.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
So 30, yeah. 40 something minus one.
All right,
one.
39 to go. 39 plus to go. I don't think it's Namibia.
Ooh,
Is that a clue? No, that's Disturbed. Down with the Sickness. Is it a clue? Is it like an Ebola thing?
No.
Down with the Sickness? Okay. I don't know. Maybe you're trying to Namibia me again. I'm going to go with Namibia.
The correct answer is Madagascar.
I'm really mad at myself because that was literally the first country that I thought of. And just why didn't I say it? Why didn't I say it?
I don't know.
This happens every week. It happened last week to Frankie. An answer in her head. It was, I don't know. You know why I didn't say it? I felt like I can't remember what Madagascar is, but that's not it. So I discounted it right away. And shame on me. Shame on me for doing that.
Hey man, basically. It's, you know, it's rough.
Yep.
It's rough.
All right. My last question for you, the category is unusual deaths. In 1597, the mayor of Brno am Inn, and I won't ask you to guess where that is, Mark. I'll tell you it's Austria.
Okay.
The mayor of Brno am Inn, Austria, fell down a flight of stairs to his death after tripping over what? An object that is still on display at the town's historical museum to this day.
What a weird question.
The year is 1597. The person, the mayor, the town we're now am in. It's the middle of the night. Falls down a flight of stairs to his death after tripping over what? An object is still on display in the town's historical museum.
I mean, Jesus Christ. How in the hell am I supposed to know that?
Something they usually kept in his pocket. I'll tell you, there was a fire in the middle of the night. Much panic. This beloved mayor, actually really well-liked by the townspeople.
Yeah, a good mayor. They voted for him.
Yep. Had no regrets.
Belgium. Yep. I mean, come on.
Fire wakes him up.
Waffles and fucking chocolate.
He starts running. Trips.
Trips over something that's usually kept in his pocket.
Yep.
It's an object. So it's not an animal. At first I was thinking like a cat or something.
Mm-hmm.
1500s. It's got a, he tripped over it that.
He's tripping.
I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not fishing for clues because I think he's given me more than enough. When I think of tripped over, I think of like heavy. And it's something that you would like fall on, not slip on. So I'm not thinking like, because when you said in your pocket, I thought like a pipe. But I don't think that you trip on a pipe or trip over a pipe.
Yeah, that would be a weird way to phrase it for sure.
It's pipes.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. But something
heavy. I wouldn't tell myself like that.
But something heavy that you keep in your pocket. Like anything that you would like hit and stumble over, I can't imagine you keeping in your pocket. I am completely shooting in the dark here.
Well, something doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, heavy for you to get tangled up in it.
See, now you're saying tangled up. See,
and tripping.
Read the question again.
In 1597, the mayor of Bernau am Inn, Austria, fell down a flight of stairs to his death after tripping over what? An object that is still on display at the town's historical museum.
See, tripping over is, I just look way too deep into this shit. Because tripping over, I think of like, you know those stops, you know those giant concrete blocks when you park so you don't go too far up.
Mm-hmm. I've tripped on those things.
You trip on them.
Yeah.
Like you hit them, they do not move.
Mm-hmm.
You keep going. Or like a dog.
Yeah.
Where you hit it, the dog does not go anywhere, your body keeps going and you trip over it.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is a different thing than like a spider web, which you don't trip over, but you fall because of. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Fuck it. I'm just gonna say a handkerchief.
No, that's a inspired guess. I mean, it's something that you keep often in your pocket, but actually what he would roll up and keep it in his pocket typically was his 4-foot-long beard.
Really?
He stepped on his beard and tripped down a flight of stairs and broke his neck. And the townspeople, so distraught over this, decided to take the beard and display it in their museum where it can still be seen today. 4-foot-long beard.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Unusual deaths is the category. Again, all these categories I'm asking you from are all recommended by my players. So in case you're wondering why I'm looking at mayors or actually Kyle wrote that question. Proper credit where it's due.
That reminds me of, did you ever hear the story of Isadora Duncan?
Mm-mm.
She was a famous French dancer. And she had this really long flowing silk scarf. She got in a car and bye, and drove off, and the scarf got tangled up in her hubcap.
Oh no.
It snapped her neck.
Oh my God.
Whoops.
Yeah. It's like the cape scene in The Incredibles. Yeah. All right. And speaking of The Incredibles, I think our bonus for this week, I'm going to throw some Disney questions at Mark. So if that's your thing, check out our Patreon. You'll have access to that. And
it'll be fun watching me flounder. I know nothing about Disney. I'm surrounded by people who love Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just on the outskirts.
You're a resistor.
It's not that I'm a resistor. I think that I guess I just kind of had a weird childhood.
Yeah.
I don't think my parents really fed me much stuff as far as like typical kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up pretty fast. And I do like remember some, like my mom used to always like give me a hard time because I had never seen Bambi. Like she had nothing to fucking do with it. Like, well, you never showed me fucking Bambi. You know what I mean? Like, it's like
she's holding it against you.
What, you want me to go and buy the VHS? You want me to buy the Betamax myself? So I didn't like, you know, so I think a lot of my friends who love Disney love it in part because it ties them to their childhood and reminds them, you know, aside from all like the food and wine festival and all that stuff.
Definitely.
It's, you know, it brings nostalgic. Them, it gives them, you know, yeah, it gives them that warmth. It doesn't have that for me.
Right.
Like right. I like a lot of pop culture stuff is that for, excuse me, is that for me, you know, like Alf and Knight Rider and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
that's way more like whatever my parents were watching, I was watching.
True.
So I don't, you know, I just don't have that connection like everybody else does.
Right. Well, we're going to see if we can find some questions that, you know, there's some general pop culture questions that are Disney themed and stuff. So
I'll find some Disney questions from my repository and I'll,
great.
I'll throw some back at you.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So check that out. If you're listening, go to our website, thenono.com, and click support at the top. That'll bring you to our Patreon. And as long as you subscribe as a Rumpelstiltskin or above at the $3 level or up, you'll have instant access to all the bonus content that we've released thus far, as well as any bonus content we decide to release in the future. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one's starting at 7 p.m. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Except for this week, it'll be hosted by Mark.
Hi.
Who you can also catch at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday. And on the following Monday at Three Pepper as that well. You're doing three this week.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support us by sharing our podcast on your social media network, as well as visiting our Patreon, which we just talked about. Thanks to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud, and performing this weekend in New York with Blackfoot.
Indeed.
Yeah. And Tim from San Diego, member of the trivia team going by Pat's Garden Service. Thanks to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks also to our proverbial light keepers, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, Sherry, Gil. Yeah, thanks, guys. All right, and big thanks also to our Rumpelstiltskins, Michael C. and Michael J. If you'd like to support the podcast,
we'd love you all.
Please do. TheNoNo.com. Click support at the top. You can also write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, as mentioned earlier, TheNoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com email address. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Triv.
The good thing is you know how much we love you by how much money you give us. So Tommy and Tim can get complete oral sex and probably insertion. Fletcher and Kristen, you're looking at heavy petting. Everything from down there is probably like kisses on the neck, light touches, you know, light petting, words of encouragement, maybe some dirty talk.
Just fill out the questionnaire on the Patreon, you know.
Let's know what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll fly to you.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitchers, or wherever you you listen to your podcast.
Do we want one star?
No.
How about 2 stars?
Rather not.
What about 3 stars? How do you feel about 4 stars, though?
We're moving in the right direction.
How about 5 stars?
That's what we want. That's what we want. 5 stars.
That's the one with Drake going, oh yeah.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners. Have a great week.